Paranormal Truth and Reality with host Chris Houston. A show for those with a passion for the paranormal. And now, welcome to the show.
Welcome to Paranormal Truth and Reality. I'm your host, Christopher Houston, on BBS Radio. We have a very special guest here in the new year, Spirit Chick. She's a unique investigator with a wonderful view on life and investigations themselves. Welcome. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Oh, can't complain. So let's just start by you introducing yourself, what got you into the paranormal, and we'll kind of run with the punches as we go.
All right. Well, my name's Ansley, and I'm a spirit chick, as you just heard. I've been investigating for about 7 years now. I got interested at a very young age, though. When I was about 9 years old, I had an experience with a toy I had that I had gotten from a thrift store. When I brought that toy home that night, it actually moved around my room and started levitating, and that terrified me. And then for a couple years after that, I wanted nothing to do with spirits. And then I started to, around age 12, 13, I started to read all these books and start watching these shows about paranormal stuff and doing a little research on my house and my family history. And I was finding a lot of interesting stories and a lot of interesting things with my family being sensitive and stuff like that. And it kind of explained the experiences I was having. So then I decided, well, why don't I start my own team and go about it my own way? Because I hadn't really seen anyone go about it the way I wanted it to be done. And so I was like, let's just see where this goes. And yeah, that's where it got me to today.
You know, it's interesting that you speak about that. A lot of us have experiences early on. I know I did when I started. I know many guests I've talked to had them early on when they started. So it's kind of unique how sometimes ghosts seek out children. I think it's a lot of times because we have a unique perspective when we're younger. We're not clouded with all the things that you see on television and all the doubts and so forth, if that makes sense.
Yeah, right. And they say that children are very open. When we're younger, we're very open to energy and different kinds of things like that, because like you said, we're not clouded with all that kind of stuff, or like the daily stress or anything. We don't have any worries as a kid, and I think that keeps us very open and vulnerable to the spirit, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes total sense to me. I'd agree with it 100%. Now, you had a haunted object when you were a child. Haunted objects are, listeners, just so that you're aware, they're very, very rare, but every now and then, for one reason or another, just like in life, you attach yourself to something particular. I have a dog tag that was my father's that passed away a long time ago, you know, things along those lines. So if they end up in other people's hands, sometimes the ghost or the presence carries along with that. Paranormal Research Ohio did some slight research on haunted objects. We're about to acquire another 4 or 5 so we can do a long-term study on haunted objects, but they're very, very unique. Sometimes they can be very scary. Being a child, I would imagine that probably not only terrified you, but you just had no idea how to react to it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because especially being that young, I didn't ever think about ghosts. I didn't think about the afterlife or anything like that. And I remember after that experience, I wanted, like, clarification from my parents, and I told them about it. But my parents are very open to the spirits. And like I said, with my family history, it's kind of like something that's normal to talk about spirits in my family. And so when I brought it up to them, I was hoping they would be like, oh, no, that was just your imagination. Spirits don't exist. But they're like, oh, no, the house is haunted and you have a lot of spirits around you. And I was like, well, that's not what I want to hear.
It's like, oh, joy. Now I'm a 9-year-old child and I'm infested with ghosts.
Right?
Well, you mentioned something about your family being sensitives and yourself being sensitives. I know it's a tricky situation in the paranormal because either you believe in it or you don't believe in it. I've had the privilege of talking to some very experienced mediums throughout the years, so I think it's interesting to talk about that. A lot of times as a sensitive or psychic medium or the different gifts that people have when they do that, you have a lot of insight that most people don't have. So let's talk about your insight a little bit and how you go about things and how you communicate with ghosts.
Well, my approach to communicating with spirits isn't really for evidence or like fame or money or anything like that. It's really about, I want to help the spirits and communicate with them and hear their story that a lot of people don't take the time to hear. A lot of investigators you hear about, not all of them, but a lot you hear about are all about getting evidence to whatever means necessary. But to me, I kind of view spirits as like a mutual respect between me and them and being kind, treating them like they are human because they once were alive, you know. And so that's kind of my approach, is about helping them, telling their story, helping them find the light, whatever it is. And that's how I've always done it. That's how I will always do it. And then as far as, I don't know, I think it also has to do with how sensitive I am, because I would say I'm more of an empath than anything. So it's like I truly feel their emotions whenever I'm around them, and I feel their energy on a much deeper level than the average person. I think that really put like the ground line of how I would do my investigations, because it's like I feel like I'm them at the same time, you know?
Now, when you're doing your investigations as an empath, I know it probably helps to feel those emotions, and you can react to them a lot of times. Is it almost like when they finally come into the room, you can just feel the presence that is there? Does that make sense at all?
Yeah. I could be standing in a room, and the second that a spirit enters, I'll know exactly where they are. I'll feel exactly if it's a male or a female, how they look, how old they are, all that kind of stuff. And then I'll kind of get a vibe from them if they're happy, they're sad, they're angry, or whatever. And then I'll kind of take their energy on. I try and block that out for the most part, because I don't want to have an experience where if they're very angry, I become very angry and aggressive too. But I do let myself feel it to an extent, so I kind of get an idea of who I'm dealing with.
Now, do you have a team that comes along with you at this point? I'm assuming you probably don't do the investigations just on your own, but you might. There are some people that do.
The only team I have is me and my cameraman. That's about it.
Well, it's actually, in some instances, a good way to do it. I know a lot of paranormal teams encourage not going out there on your own. Of course, you're not on your own. You have your camera guy. But I've also interviewed many, many people that go out there on their own. As an empath, it probably helps you to not have a lot of other negative emotions that are out there, because people get scared really quickly when you're on an investigation. So I'm sure that probably helps a little bit. Have you had a chance to, when you say help them along and tell their story, do you help lead them to what some people call the light, or to cross over or so forth, or do you just kind of say, okay, I understand, and let's talk about it?
Well, it seems each case of the spirit is different. Some I've found only need someone that cares, because, like I said, a lot of investigators will just come along for evidence and they don't really truly care about the spirits. They're not really passionate about it in that sense. And I find that a lot of the times the spirits I meet, they just want someone who will listen to them. Like, if they just want to say their name, if they want to say how they died, sometimes that's enough for them to be able to be happy enough to find their peace, whether that's going to the light or whatever it is in the afterlife. And some spirits, it's a lot more complex, and some will ask you through different pieces of equipment or whatever that if you can help them go to the light. And sometimes it's a lot deeper of a process. You have to go through a lot more steps, and it can take months to years to do, because it can be so complex sometimes. And so I think it's really uniquely based around the spirit, if that makes sense.
No, it makes perfect sense. In fact, I had that conversation with a partner of mine that we're working on a documentary with quite recently. When I go into an investigation, sometimes people are amazed at the reactions that I get, but I walk in there and treat them like they're an individual or a person. I don't go in and repetitively ask some of the key trigger questions that I know are a part of the training, and of course every rookie has to understand when you're doing EVP and so forth, you got to ask particular questions and so forth. I just go in and talk to them. Because that's the way I'd want to be done. I'd want somebody to just talk to me.
Right. Yeah, that totally makes sense.
Let's talk a little bit. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say that's something else with the paranormal. It just seems like once we get to that line in the afterlife, as we don't know what's on the other side. There's plenty of unknown things. It's all a mystery to us, and there's nothing definite. But I think there's a line that people often view, and it's probably from television and stuff like that, is that spirits aren't human and they should not be treated humanely. They should be yelled at. They should be taunted, whatever. But I think the best approach is the way you just described, is just talking to them like they're people and just talking to them like an everyday conversation, you know, just like you're sitting there having coffee with them.
Yeah, exactly. And treat them with the respect that they deserve, and let them respond accordingly. Most times when you do that, you'll get more of a reaction than just walking in and being aggressive or asking the simple questions like, are you here? Show me a sign. I know that if I was standing right beside you, whether you could see me or not, personally, if many, many people go into the same location trying to communicate with me and they all ask the same question, after a certain point, I'm just kind of standing there looking at you like, come on, are you a moron? Show me a sign. I'm standing right here. Why don't you just talk to me?
Right, yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about the light. I've always wanted to ask this to everybody. Everybody has a different opinion, and I've watched some of your videos on your YouTube channel, which we'll talk about, and it's a very delightful YouTube channel, by the way. You have a wonderful, insightful way of looking at things to keep people positive. I think it's great. But let's talk about the light. In your opinion, what is sending them to the light or crossing over? How do you view it?
In my opinion, it's not seen as like – a physical light or anything like that. I think the best way I could describe it is getting somebody to the point of happiness, closure, to disconnect from their physical life, let go of everything, and just accept everything and become that happiness that they should be at. I think that's the best way I could describe this, the light, is when they get to the point where they just release themselves from the physical. They have nothing holding them down anymore. They're like weightless, and they're just happy. And wherever they go, we don't know where they go, but wherever they go, I think they've just found their complete peace. And I think that's what the light is for me.
I had a wonderful medium one time that spoke to me a little bit about it. She said she doesn't know whether they physically cross over to anywhere else, but what she can say is when she's communicated with them and they're comfortable with where they are, they're no longer bound to one area. So they'll travel all over the place, almost as if it's an instant second or an instant time. And she says it's kind of amazing because when she talks to some of the spirits, you'll go into an investigation looking for one particular thing. One person, one death, whatever it is, when you're going there thinking this is going to happen. And then all of a sudden somebody or something, I guess you could say, just randomly pops up and it has nothing to do with the location. But it's more than willing to talk to you.
Yeah, that makes sense. Definitely.
I think it's kind of an amazing situation that people like yourself and I've been an investigator in the past, though I'm not an investigator. I don't claim to be one because I like to tell the stories. I like to travel along with other people. I tell this on virtually every show, so a lot of the listeners are already familiar with it. So I apologize, guys, if you get a little bored with it, but some of the new guests don't know. My job is to be the host. When I had a personal experience, it traveled me on to asking many, many questions, which is why I love doing my job. I love to ask people like yourself your questions, your opinions, and so forth, because we can learn from each other. I learn something new every show. With that said, you have a very unique style. Like I said, I've seen a lot of your YouTube videos, some of your investigations you've posted up, and so forth. When you go into a place – whether it be – well, I guess we should back up a little bit before I do that, just so the listeners understand. Do you do residential and commercial locations? How do you investigate? Where do you go?
I've never done any residential investigations, but I would be open to it. I've never been contacted to do those that are anywhere close to me, at least. I mostly just go about investigations, look at different places around – close to me or places that I can afford to travel to, and I check for haunted locations there, whether it's the most known or some that people may not even know about. I check the history, I check the claims, I check what other investigators say, what happens, and then it's kind of like I wipe the slate clean, and then I go to the location, because I don't want to be biased when I go into it. So I want to understand what people get, I want to understand the history, but I don't want anything to kind of bias any evidence, any experiences I have, or anything like that. But I don't really have a certain method to choosing a location. It could be completely random. It's just if I'm drawn to a certain place, then I'll go to it.
Now, when you go to these locations, which brings me into the next question, a lot of times, like you said, it's just kind of a random thing. How often do you run into something that just, excuse the term when I say this, but this is the easiest way to say it, scares the piss out of you?
There's been plenty of investigations I've had where I've gotten terrified of stuff. I don't go seeking anything dark. I always go in with a positive attitude, good intentions and everything like that, because in the paranormal, I believe that really kind of sets how we're going to, find things. The things that are going to come to us is the energy we put out is the energy we'll attract. But sometimes you just go into a location and there's just bad stuff. And you could be the most positive person, have the best intentions, but you're going to find something bad. And there was one investigation I did in Virginia City, Nevada, at the old Washoe Club. That's a very well-known place in the paranormal. I did an investigation there. I had the spirit box on, and I remember walking on the second floor going into one of the back rooms, and I said, "Is anybody here with me? Can you tell me your name?" through the spirit box right after I just turned it on. And this voice comes through in like a raspy, growling tone, and it says, "Ansley." And it says my name, and I was like, why does it say my name? And I continue walking, and in the hallway I say, okay, I'm getting a bad feeling, so I want to clarify nothing bad is allowed to be around me. I only want good spirits. And it's like this laugh comes through in the same growling voice, and then it says, a demon. And I was like, all right, that's not what I'm looking for.
Well, when you're in the paranormal somewhere along the line and you run into it, even when you try to avoid it, it's just non-avoidable sometimes, I guess you could say. But
oh yeah,
like you've mentioned, a lot of it revolves around your attitude when you're on an investigation. I've met many, many people that have given me horror stories and many, many people that have given me wonderful stories. My personal experience is I've had a handful of both from time to time, but the best experience that I've ever had is when you can go into a location and you're communicating with something and at the end you know you did something.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And the best way to do that is to go in with a positive notion, like you said there. You know, keep it happy, I guess you could say. Know that, hey, look, this I'm in control. This is something I want to do. This is something how I want to help, and I can't allow anything negative to interfere with that.
Absolutely, I agree.
So let's talk about some of your locations. I know you just mentioned one, but I'm sure you've got favorite locations. You've got a lot of amazing places that you've went. So what are some of the best locations you've enjoyed going to?
Let's see. There's one called the St. George Hotel. That one's located in Volcano, California. It's kind of like probably the smallest old mining town you will ever find. There's like a total of 5 people that live in it. And we went there. We knew about a couple places. There's like 2 hotels. It's a very small hotel or very small town. And there's only a very small section of buildings. And so there's 2 hotels, and they're both haunted. So we went to the St. George, which is one of them. And we were lucky enough to get the whole hotel to ourselves for the night. And there was a lot of interesting claims about it. We didn't really hear any other investigators go there. We didn't hear very many stories about it. But it was something that was interesting and stood out, and we were drawn to for whatever reason. And one of the stories there was about a little girl named Elizabeth who supposedly drowned in the creek that was right next to the hotel. But there was no historical documentation of that. So I was a bit skeptical of it. usually how I look at things unless I can find hard evidence of it. And so when we went into it, I had the Ovula cell, which is a device that speaks words. When spirits use a certain amount of energy, they can select a word and speak to us that way. And I had the Ovula cell, and we were walking upstairs, and it was really cool because a random thunderstorm came in, and it really seemed to stir up the energy with all that natural energy. And when we were up there and the thunderstorm was going on, we got this thing on the Ovula that said, it said, girl, creek, drown. And we were like, could that be talking about the little girl in the creek that drowned? And then it said, submerged, and something about arms. So then we were like, was she struggling? Was she putting her arms up? Was she submerged? I mean, it could have been something completely unrelated, but it was very interesting that came through out of all things. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's very unique how, now, being from an audio background, I'm not a big fan of a lot of things like Ovulus, but I will honestly tell you, I've had a chance to see it operate on many investigations by tagging along, and it is unique how sometimes things come up like that aren't non-specific. You know, I mean, you can get random names and random communications all over the place, but when you have something like you just said there that's not common knowledge and it gets very specific, you got to start wondering about it.
Right. Oh yeah, definitely.
Now, I know you mentioned the Ovulus. Do you use some of the other common tools that are out there on paranormal investigations, like EVP recorders or digital recorders, EMF detectors, things along those lines?
Yeah, I honestly am open to trying all pieces of equipment. I frequently use the SD7 Spirit Box just because I've had amazing results with it that have blown me away. I'll use the Ovulus. I'll always use an EMF detector with, like, the built-in REM or a REM pod or something like that. I'll use digital recorders and everything, cameras, pictures, all that kind of stuff. But I think the best tool, honestly, and what I'm starting to do is step away from the equipment. I like to test them, but I want to step away from them because I think the best tool is your body. When it's trained properly to separate fear, to separate your anxiety and all of that stuff, I think it can truly be the best form of detector on investigation. And so I'm starting to try and shift to more of a natural way of communication and using my body to tune in, pick things up, and then use, say, historical documentation and other pieces of equipment if I have them sitting about to validate my experiences and my claims.
Well, that would make sense, actually. I know a lot of people love to rely on the technology, but you know, from a personal experience, I know that you can walk into a location and use your senses and be able to determine, okay, there's something right over there. And I've actually done this, and sit the recorder there and carry on a conversation. And you may not catch the communication, but then you come back and you play the recorder and go, oh my God, something's talking to me.
Oh yeah.
So that's kind of a very good approach to do. I know recently on – oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think with spirits, since they're a form of energy and energy is a natural form, I think the best approach is using your natural senses and your natural body and everything like that, because technology is – while it's helpful on investigations, a lot of times like capturing recordings and stuff like that, it's also man-made and it's not natural, so to speak. And I think the best way to connect with the natural energy is through your natural self. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. The best way to – well, it narrows down in life, actually. It narrows down that way a lot of times. The human nature senses things. I mean, listeners, think of it this way. Have you ever been out in public – and you've met particular people and you just know that, okay, there's something wrong there. And then you've met another person and it's like, this is the most delightful person I've ever met in my life. That's your human instincts. If you can hone those instincts, and I learned this a long time ago in marketing, and then had the privilege of going to Vegas and taking some mentalism classes, and they use human instincts a lot in mentalism because it's all reading the people in front of you, reading their facial expressions, reading their tics, reading their understanding, watching how they react to you, seeing if they react positive, seeing if they react negative. If you learn to build these things, you can truly create a positive environment around you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's an amazing thing. I know you mentioned that a little bit with Qi and a lot of other things on your YouTube channel. So let's kind of venture into that a little bit. You have some very unique perspectives on how you can get in tune with yourself and get in tune with nature and everything around you. So let's talk about your opinions there.
Well, like I said, using your natural body, I think that's always going to be the best approach. But a lot of people are very disconnected from using their intuition and stuff like that. And there's a lot of different ways that you can tune in. Some of the most simple ones are even just going outside and connecting, stepping away from technology, stepping away from man-made stuff. Like, I think a lot of that kind of blocks our intuition, and it's hard for us to tune in that way. Same with, like, the stress and stuff of everyday life that really blocks our energy, and it's hard for us to embrace everything else. And so there's so many ways. Using crystals, they're a natural form of energy. Practicing with them, keeping them around your house, lighting candles, just making it peaceful, letting yourself relax, all that kind of stuff is going to help you be able to tune in. When you can quiet your mind and just sit. If you can't meditate, as long as you can just clear it enough to where you can just feel comfortable, that's going to open you up so much more than you already would be. I know that one of my favorite things when I'm feeling very blocked, I've done this my whole life, is I would go out on a hike and just step away from technology, step away from people, and just do my own thing, focus on what made me happy, and that more than anything has opened me up.
Well, that makes perfect sense. And, you know, I like the mention that you said about stepping away from things. A friend of mine, I got him on the show very early on, and I've watched all of his stuff, Peter Sacco. And listeners, if you ever have a chance, look him up. He's a great guy. He's also a psychologist, and he did a book about how technology and the internet and Facebook and so forth can really get to a person and cause a lot of negativity if you don't allow it. He gave a quote one time that I told many, many people, you know, before you react on Facebook or before you react in life, when you're frustrated, when you're angry, when you're upset, the best thing to do is to just walk away.
Right.
Take a breath, go outside, breathe it all in. You know, even if it's cold out like it is here in Ohio tonight, you know, there are some very beautiful things in the snow.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all about getting out there and not reacting to negative things, just rising above it. And no matter how bad it is, just try and think positive about it. And that's really going to help shift your life and your mindset and your overall being.
Yeah, absolutely. Listeners, you've been listening to BBS Radio. BBS Radio is one of the largest digital radio stations in the United States of America. If you're ever thinking about a podcast, if you're ever thinking about digital radio, Donald is a wonderful person. Make sure that you go with the best. First, take a look at BBS. A couple of keynotes, Paranormal Journeys into the Unknown is actually finishing their first season on Amazon. They're about to go into their second season. Joe Vitale, Paula, Gavin, they're all a bunch of wonderful people. Make sure that you look at them. They're actually working currently on saving a local area that's a school. Now, I'm going to post this on my Facebook page. I'm also going to post it on Paranormal Truth and Reality. They're going to be doing a benefit and a few other things for people to donate to keep this going. It has been a haunted location in the past, but it's also a wonderful part of history. So take a moment when you look at their pages, when you look them up, and look into this. Do what you can to help this place. It's a wonderful building. It's a great place. There's a lot of people trying to restore it. And I'd love to see the building stay around. Other notes, make sure that you support the local things here in the state of Ohio. We do have some Paracons coming up next year. Brian Parsons is a wonderful person on WCJV Radio. He's going to be at a couple of these. Colin is also another gentleman that you'll be seeing on my page. Make sure that you tune into these guys. Cat Hobson is going to be showing up at a couple of them. They're also wonderful radio hosts on other stations. Support your local paranormal community, and don't forget to support your local flea market here in Marengo, Ohio. They should be open over the weekend. You've been listening to The Spirit Chick. And I apologize, I'm lousy with pronunciation, so I'll let you repronunciate your name here in a little while so that I don't mispronounce it. But she's a wonderful, delightful individual that's been talking about a lot of different things. We're going to continue with that conversation now. We've talked about locations. We've talked about equipment. Well, we've talked about a little bit of everything. But let's talk about inspiration a little bit. Since we got into the positives, what inspires you about continuing to go your journey, other than helping, obviously, the spirits? I mean, are there any people that you've looked up to in your journeys, that you've studied in, that you've had a chance to go, that's very interesting, I want to learn more?
Oh, yeah, there's been plenty of moments like that. One person I've always really looked up to, I've really liked her approach in the paranormal, and I really liked, she had a show, but I don't think it's continuing on anymore, but her name was Kim Russo. She showed herself as a psychic medium. I can be skeptical of psychic mediums also, but she just had a very gentle approach to the spirits, a very different way of doing it, and I've always really respected that. I kind of look into, while I'm not a fan of paranormal shows very much, I do look into them because I like to know what people are doing, what equipment they're using, what kind of stuff they're getting, how they're approaching it, what kind of name they're giving to the paranormal. So I kind of look at all this stuff. I'm not sure if there's any other shows that have really stood out to me, but she has definitely inspired me. Other than that, helping spirits has pushed me through for many, many years. I just had my team anniversary yesterday, or 2 days ago, actually, and that was my 5-year anniversary of my team. While I've been investigating longer, but truly just helping the spirits, hearing their story, giving them a voice, that's truly what keeps me going.
Well, it makes perfect sense. And in the end of the day, you can have all the technology, and I love the technology. You can collect all the data to try to find out where everything's going, and I'm a big one on data. But in the end, and I mentioned this, I actually talked about this with a gentleman, Brandon Kirchner, which has the largest paranormal society across the United States of America. In the end, it all narrows down to our experiences.
Right.
You know, positive, negative, whatever that is, that's what keeps us coming back. And most of us, it's the positive experiences. I mean, let's face it, we don't come back when we have a negative experience. That scares the crap out of us.
Right.
But the positive experiences are, they can be a wonderful thing. I remember, and I know the show's about you, so I apologize if I take over a little bit you'll enjoy this story, and the listeners might enjoy it, and it'll open up to a couple of things. One of the most positive experiences I ever had was the most unlikely experience I ever had. I was in a situation where I was rebuilding my life. I was in Delaware, Ohio, at an apartment complex, and every night about a week and a half out, you could hear this lady crying. No idea why. Now, I was the only one that heard it for the longest time. Then my family heard it a couple of times. And I remember waking up eventually. I gave a statement the night before. I said, I really wish, if this is a ghost, she would at least show herself. And I heard it. And my wife woke up for a brief period in time. I said, did you hear that? I heard something. Then she rolled over. I kept hearing it. So I walked out into the hallway, and here she is, crouching in the hallway, and she's crying. And I remember looking at her saying, is there anything I can do for you? Well, she got up. She walked out. She went out the door. I followed her. We went out to a little stream in a woods that's behind the apartment complex, and she pointed down at the ground. So I thought I was nuts, but I figured I'd make a few phone calls. And I just called the police department locally and mentioned it, and they didn't say anything. They kind of laughed it off. And about 5 weeks later, I got a call from a detective. And he said, I'd like to ask you some questions. Well, he didn't know that we had just moved in about 5 months ago. He assumed maybe I'd been there for a little while. And he asked me all these questions and treated me like a suspect. And I asked him what was going on, and he didn't share anything. And about a year and a half later, after a newspaper article came out, he called me back and he told me, hey, look, there's a newspaper article coming out, and I just wanted you to be aware of this. Turns out that she was murdered in that apartment complex. Now, there's a lot of other details to this, guys. I asked the manager at the time after that happened that owned the apartment complex. He was really shady about it and entered my apartment and looked around when I wasn't there. His maintenance guy disappeared after he found out about it. Well, it turns out the maintenance guy was involved in her murder, and he disposed of the body back there by that tree. The detective found the remains and returned it to the family. That was the most amazing experience I'd ever had.
Wow. That's mind-boggling. Wow.
Yeah, I didn't realize that I was in communication with something like that. Never happened again. But it was peaceful in the end, understanding that maybe just a little bit in that little way I helped.
Absolutely. And for whatever reason, she was drawn to you, and everything happens for a reason. So she knew that you were going to be able to help her somehow, and you did, and that's amazing.
Yeah, and I don't claim to have sensitivity like yourself or anything along those lines, but it was an amazing experience. It was something that okay, though I can't prove any of this, the detective's department will stand there and tell you, that detective that's retired now, if you sit down and talk to him, will stand there and tell you, hey, you know what? I thought this guy committed the murder.
Yeah.
that's
incredible.
Yeah, in the end, it was just surprising. And a neat little story, I guess you could say, that many, many people have had, you know, unique stories like that. So I thought you'd enjoy it. I thought the listeners would enjoy it, and it would relate a little bit. Let's talk about your YouTube channel and your Twitter page and so forth, so that we know where to find you and what you're planning on doing here in the next year. I mean, it is a new year, so I'm sure you got plenty of plans.
Oh, yeah. I have a lot of new stuff on the way. I have a lot of stuff that I can't share yet, but some stuff, very exciting stuff, is going to be happening in February to March this year. And I have a lot of investigations planned, but I would like to go to a lot of Paracons this year. I've never really been to one, but I've been wanting to check some out. Do you know of any that I could check out?
I should probably know this, but with all the research that I do with everybody, where are you located currently?
In Northern California.
Northern California. There's a massive Paracon that's just out of Hollywood, California, that comes up every year. Now, I don't know the exact date, but you should be able to research it online. It's a wonderful Paracon to go to. All of the big names are there, and you also meet a lot of local paranormal investigators because they have a whole room set up every year, and they do this little party and so forth. That's the one I would recommend going to. I haven't been there in years, but I can guarantee you some of the big names, from Hollywood Ghost Hunters to David Ullman to some of the smaller names, will be there because they're there every year.
Oh, yeah. That would be cool. Yeah, I'll definitely have to look into that. Thank you.
And if you're ever in the Hollywood area, I would recommend contacting David Ullman and going to the Ullman House. I haven't personally been there, though David is a wonderful friend. I absolutely love him. He's a great guy. He's very energetic. I have been told by everybody that has went there, it is one of the most active houses that they've ever been in. And you will find everything from the angry ghost to the happy-go-lovey ghost that just wants to come in and say hi.
Really? Wow. Yeah, I don't really know much about the Ullman House, but I have heard of it. I haven't really heard about what sort of things have occurred there, though.
A little bit of everything, to my understanding, from the more scary ghosts that love to startle you to the fun-loving ghosts that just like to show up and tell you, hi, I'm here, and throw a party.
That sounds pretty fun. I could always go party.
I mean, if you're ever around, I could tell you there's a dozen of them here in Ohio, Nashville, Tennessee. There's several big ones that come up there every year. Or if you have a chance, as silly as it seems, some of the best places to meet a lot of paranormal investigators outside of Paracons is just go to your local Comic-Con.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I totally believe that.
Yeah, I've had wonderful experiences. I'll be setting up at the Comic-Con here in Ohio, the Comic-Con in Nashville, Tennessee, Indianapolis, Indiana. We are planning on going to California somewhere along the line, though I don't know if it'll be this year. It might be next year. So you're welcome to tag along while we're filming the documentary, because I'm going to hit up David. We're going to go through the Omen House. We're going to introduce him. I've got a new team that's coming along with me that we're training now, that's called RAT. Reality and Truth, which is kind of ironic because my documentary's got a bunch of think tankers that go back through and discuss with the new team, hey, look, this is what you miss, this is what you do, this is the reality of the paranormal, and so forth. So they're kind of our lab rats.
Nice.
But they'll be tagging along, and I'd love to have you come along. I think they would love to have you on. You're a delightful person. You've got a wonderful attitude.
Thank you. It would be an honor to go.
But again, let's go back into your YouTube channel. Tell them where to find you, and any other channels that you want to talk about. I know it's easy to find her on her Twitter page. You can actually go to Spirit Chick, and if you search it, guys, on Twitter, it'll pop right up to her, and then you can like her there. But let's talk about your YouTube channel a little bit so that they know where to find you.
Well, my YouTube, and along with all my other social media, it's just at the Spirit Chick with no spaces. You can find me on YouTube, on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter, and on my blog at the Spirit Chick.
Awesome sauce. Are there any personal notes or anything that you really want to speak about while you're on the radio show? I know we have a lot of listeners, so hopefully they'll tune into you every week.
Now, I think we really covered about everything. Unless you have any other stories or anything to share, I'd love to hear some more.
My first story, and I'm planning to write a book. I've been writing it, but it's just so hard to get into. My first story was a very scary story. We moved into a small home in Morrill County. Well, it wasn't small. It was a two-story home in Morrill County that was just recently built. It's right off from a very old residence that had a shady story that we didn't know anything about, which is where a lot of the activity came from, I believe at least, at the age of 6 years old. The first night we went in there, it got very, very graphic. We packed up all the dishes, put them in the cabinets, took them out, and we heard a loud slam. Came downstairs, all the cabinets are open, the dishes are piled right up on the kitchen table. Shortly after that, about a week and a half after that, the room that I ended up staying in, because nobody else would, my sister was in, and she kept saying there was a dark figure in the closet that was growling at her and snarling at her and so forth, scared her to death, so we moved rooms. My mother and father moved into that room afterwards, and for the next 5 years, my mom kept complaining that she was hearing noises, seeing things at night, she'd been scratched a couple of times, and my dad never believed much into the paranormal. He loved UFOs, but no paranormal things outside of that, so he was like, yeah, right, whatever. So she moved out, and I moved into that room. For the next 10 years, I had some of the scariest and most unique experiences that I'd ever have. It started with a young boy in a parka, red parka, blonde hair, very, very small, that I would see outside the window every night. And I'd know when he showed up because I'd hear a little giggle. And then he kept getting closer and closer and closer the older I got. Well, when I hit about 16 or 17 years old, I became curious about the paranormal. I'd watched a lot of shows. Of course, the first shows had come on. And I'd realized there were some unusual things about this house, just some weird things that would happen. You'd laugh about ghosts somewhere along the line when a ghost show would come on. The lights would dim. The speakers and stereos would turn on and off on their own. The TVs would turn on and off on their own, brand new or not. Doors would open and close. All of a sudden, this boy step started coming in, and it scared me a little bit. So one night when I saw him in the edge of my room, I laughed it off and I rolled over. Now, I had a unique room because I wasn't the best kid in the world, so I set up my bedroom as a living room. I did not have a bed. I had a couch I slept on, television in front of it, PlayStation, you know, the average kid thing where you're like, "This is, I want to be the cool room so everybody can hang out." I remember rolling over at one point and seeing him and then rolling back over and just thinking, just go away, just go away, just go away. When I turned back over, this child had turned into a very dark mass. I remember being astounded by it, wide awake at the time, TV on, could tell you everything that was on the TV. I sat up and decided to put my arm through it. A little bit, I won't get into a lot of detail on it, listeners, but it grabbed me, pulled me off of the couch. I had a struggle with it while people were downstairs at the time. I screamed and nobody could hear me. I had a heck of a fight with this thing. And the only thing that saved me at the time was saying, I am God's child, you cannot hurt me. I heard this very loud scream and it disappeared. Most hideous scream I'd ever seen in, or heard in my life. Can't explain it to you. If I ever heard it again, I would be able to explain it. There's been a few other people that have experiences similar that have been able to explain it. But that started me on my journey. There's a lot of other things that went up to that. But long story short, I thought I'd went crazy. Because people don't explain these things. And in the world I grew up in, when you try to ask these questions, you get looked at like you're crazy. So I spent time figuring this out. The first thing I did was go to my dad. Second thing I did was go to my friends. And the third thing I did was seek out a psychiatrist. My friends believed me. They told me that the house had scared the crap out of them. A few religious people connected to me had no doubt about it. They gave me this view about demons and ghosts and so forth, so I had to make determinations there. I went to a psychiatrist because when you see these things, your world opens up. You start to wonder what's real and what's not. Did all the stories I get told in the past, are all of them real? Do vampires exist? Are werewolves exist? You just these weird things go around in your head.
Right.
So I had to get perspective. Now, the psychiatrist wanted to tell me it was just me. Now, during this process, when I'm seeing him for the next 4 or 5 years, as my dad gets sick and so forth, I keep telling him this is going on in my house. We're having more experiences. People are getting scared. He's going, nah, that's crap. I'm going to prove that this is not you, so we're going to do a session in the home. This is a funny story at this point because about 5 minutes out, he says, ghosts do not exist and I'm going to prove it. I don't believe there's anything in this house. Show me. Now, at that point, all of the lights went off in the house. The television turns on and off. The speakers start whispering in the background with no power to them. Thousands of whispers, by the way, guys. Thousands of whispers. Not just one. Thousands. And he gets up almost immediately and looks at me and says, you don't need a psychiatrist. You need a priest. I'm out of here.
Oh. That's like something straight out of Poltergeist.
Yep. Now, I learned to live with this thing. I had paranormal investigators come in, one of them very famous, who's very old now, and she didn't come into the home, but she did hear about the experience through somebody else, pulled up into the driveway. Her husband was sick at the time. She got out and said, honey, I'm not going to go into your home, but I am going to tell you this is a battle you have to win. There's something there. It doesn't want me present. And don't be afraid. That's the worst thing you could do. So with a little bit of counseling, with a little bit of positive thinking, with a little bit of going to a few metaphysical places and a few unusual places, because when you go to church, they're going to tell you it's a demon. When
right.
you go to a psychiatrist, they're going to tell you it's you. When you go to a paranormal mm-hmm. investigation team, there's a lot of good teams. There's a lot of bad teams. The teams that were in my home came back to me and said there's nothing we can do about it. The priest that came in said, well, keep faith. We've done everything we could do. But I learned from talking to unusual sources that, well, it's all about you. Bring the positive into your life. Understand these things can't hurt you unless you have them hurt you. Know that you're right. in control of situations. Even if it doesn't want to go away, don't let it bother you. So when other people were running scared, at one point while I was in this house, it didn't bother me. It could open doors and open windows and slam things shut, and a couple of times it did. I changed all the doorknobs at one point, changed a couple of doors out, didn't like the fact that I was remodeling the home a little bit, started opening and slamming the doors the moment I changed the doorknobs and a few of the doors, and I looked at it and said, I get it, you're pissed, you just don't want me here, right? All of the doors stopped opening and closing. Then the front door opens up on its own as if to tell me, go away for a while.
Wow.
So I just walked out of the home and came back later. You know, it was just normal life to me.
Right. Oh, that's true with paranormal stuff. They only have as much power as you give them. If you remain in control and you set your boundaries and everything and you stay true to how strong you are, they can't get to you. That's very true.
Yeah, I think it's something that a lot of people don't realize. Ultimately, it all narrows down to you. I've had a lot of people that have had paranormal experiences in their home that are very terrifying. Lance Eberhardt was just on a little while ago. Keith Linder gave me a terrifying story, and a lot of other people. But it ultimately narrowed down in every situation, as they explained to, we had to learn that we were in control.
Right.
And that's the key thing that they don't tell you on these shows, listeners, just so that you're aware when you're watching them. They're great to watch. But they don't tell you that. They ended on a positive note of, well, the people left the home. Well, the people sold the home. Well, the people did this. Well, the people did that. Well, what about the people that stayed? How did they deal with this? Eventually, that stuff either learns to adapt to you because it's not harming you anymore and you're not letting it bother you, or it goes away because you brought a lot of positive things in.
Right.
And those are the key things, and that's the one thing that I love about the way you express things. I spent some time watching your YouTube channel before I invited you on. I spent some time watching how you do things, and you have a very unique approach about it. You don't go in automatically assuming that everything is negative.
Right.
And that's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing. More people should watch it.
Oh, thank you. I just feel a lot of people, because of all the Hollywood movies or the shows that mainly focus on the darker things, because that's exciting for viewership. I think that's just what people get in their mind, is all paranormal things are evil. There's always demons. There's always something bad. We're going to get scratched. We're going to get hurt, whatever it is. But they don't ever focus on the good and how many good souls are out there and how many of them just need to hear somebody come in and be a friend to them, you know.
Absolutely. Well, listeners, you've been listening to BBS Radio. I'm your host, Christopher Houston. We're with the delightful Spirit Chick. Make sure that you look her up on YouTube and Twitter. Very delightful person. She's got a wonderful bunch of followers and a great YouTube channel. Next week's show, we're going to have a very interesting guest. I'm not going to reveal it yet because I have to work out the details, but make sure that you tune in. In the meantime, we're going to close the show as we do every single time in the paranormal, as you're listening to tonight, when you're actually sitting down and thinking about it. Understand that, as you learned, the paranormal does have its negative points, and granted, they're great to watch. Everybody loves to be scared every now and then. But it also has a lot of positive things, from positive reinforcement that you can learn in your life to great people and investigations, and every now and then, a ghost that just wants to be your friend. This is Paranormal Truth and Reality. Stay tuned, listen next week, and have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon.